12 years have passed since the Defense Department last closed down unneeded military bases. But DOD has been clamoring for another round of base realignment and closure, or BRAC. Federal News Radio Scott Mossioni spoke with Chris Preble, Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, about why 2017 might be the year Congress agrees to a BRAC.
Well, I think there's still a fair amount of resistance among many members of Congress, but I think it's fair to say that it's weakening. It's weakening for a couple reasons. The Pentagon is quite insistent that they do, in fact, have excess capacity, and they've requested authorization to do another base closure round five consecutive years, basically asked for it repeatedly, and repeatedly Congress has said no. What may be changing is a combination of factors. One, just the budgetary situation is still pretty uncertain, I think is the best way to describe it. Even if President Trump gets his wish of dramatically increasing military spending, it's still not entirely clear where the money's going to come from. And he says that some of the additional spending will come from dealing with waste. Well, a key aspect of waste inside of the Pentagon budget is excess overhead, both in land and property and people. So I think this is part of a package of things that would have to be done to try to squeeze some more money and drive it into areas where the president has made a priority, including procurement.
Right. And just to kind of clarify, the BRAC wouldn't exactly save the whole DOD budget, but it would be part of the drop in the bucket to be able to save money on a broader scale. So, right.
That's right. Yeah, we certainly don't want to overstate what the savings are likely to be. They accumulate over time as you close a base, and then the federal government is not paying to maintain it. Over time, those savings just add up. But in any given year, we're not talking about more than a few billion dollars, even in an entire BRAC round. So we shouldn't overstate it. It's just part of the broader picture of the inefficient allocation of resources inside of the Pentagon budget.
Right. Now you did some work on sort of how these local communities are impacted and also what these bases can become after they've closed down. And you kind of saw the two extremes of things. And I was wondering if you might kind of tell us a little bit about what some of the good things that happened out of BRAC for these bases and what sort of the sadder parts were.
Right. I mean, I think it's easy to focus on the best, on the worst cases, and to imagine that their community is going to look like that. And one of the cases that I studied is the case of Loring Air Force Base in Limestone, Maine, far up in northern Maine, Arista County. This was the base that, in some respects, the BRAC process was designed to deal with, because there was legislation written into the Pentagon budget for a number of years, put there by the Maine congressional delegation back in the 1970s to prevent any base from closing. And they recognized that in the case of Limestone, there was the broader socioeconomic conditions in the surrounding area were pretty bleak, and that really the only thing that was keeping that economy going was the base. When the base went away, things sort of reverted to where they would have been had the base never existed. It was built right after World War II. And I think that's certainly a case where, again, the conditions were not auspicious for rapid redevelopment, given sort of its location and everything else that's going on around it. I think we should focus a bit more on what I would call typical cases, that is, cases that are neither so remote nor so pristine and attractive as a case like the Presidio in San Francisco, which I've also studied. I think more typical are cases like I studied the case of Dow Air Force Base, which was closed in 1968 in Bangor, Maine. Dow is now many things, including the main airport, Bangor International Airport, as well as a college campus. There's a business campus there. A number of businesses operate, including General Electric. It's a very diverse use of a pretty major base, and it's not the kind of case that people would know off the top of their head. Although, so Bangor was closed in one of the rounds, as I said, during the mid-1960s. When the first BRAC rounds were instituted back in 1988, the Pentagon actually singled out Bangor as one of five cases that they thought other communities should emulate. And I think it's a good case to look at because there's no particular reason why Bangor should have been able to do as well as it did eventually. And I think it's a testament to sort of a bit of planning and a certain amount of luck. And it's a question of how long it would take to recover from these. And that varies pretty dramatically from place to place.
And yeah, I want to get into the, you know, how these bases recover. But I did have a quick question for you on the actual bases. If they aren't being reused by a private industry or something like that, what happens to those bases? Is the government still liable for those, or do they just let them rot?
Well, in the cases that were closed since BRAC, there's a pretty formal process for environmental cleanup and then handing over to usually a local reuse authority that's responsible for redevelopment. And, you know, the federal government tries to work with the local communities to ensure that cleanup, if it's not completed in certain areas, it's completed well enough that it can be, that redevelopment can start, while perhaps in some places the federal government is still working on other parts. It's true. Some cleanups are very difficult given the nature of the work that was done. Others are cleaner because if it's a school or a headquarters facility, there's not as likely to be as much environmental concerns. The bases that were closed prior to BRAC are even more complicated. They're handled by something normally called the formerly used defense sites, and those vary dramatically. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of facilities going back even to the World War I period, and those are generally the responsibility of the Army Corps of Engineers to clean up. And the record there is pretty uneven, fairly to say.
When it comes to handing these over to private industry, I think some of the, at least what you were kind of saying, is that the authorities that the government places on these bases at times can be too restrictive, and it takes a couple of years before these areas can get back on their feet. What's kind of your, what your takeaway from that?
Well, I think what you find in many of these bases is that the federal government rarely leaves completely. So, for example, the base in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, formerly Pease Air Force Base, continues to operate military aircraft, mostly reserve aircraft, Air Force Reserve, refueling and things like that. And one of the conditions for the handover to the city of Portsmouth was that the runway would be kept open so that these operations could continue. That's pretty common. I won't say typical, but there are a number of other bases that have not entirely given up all of their military responsibilities. For example, the Navy is still quite active at the former Philadelphia Navy Yard. So that's one aspect, is the amount of continued federal involvement on the property requires, at a minimum, cooperation between the local reuse authorities and the federal government.
That's Chris Preble, Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. We've got more DOD and DOD budgetary coverage at federalnewsradio.com.